Last night we studied the topic of return to God, and God will return to you. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. Our relationship with God is interactive. If we want to have better experience about God, receive more grace from God, we have to return to Him. So, the relationship between God and man, the most difficult part is not God in God's sight. The most difficult part is we, human beings. Are we waiting to take action to turn back to Him? That is the most important question we have to answer. Now we come to Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1. This section we are going to learn from verse 7 to verse 17. From verse 7 to verse 11, there was a vision, a vision of horses. From 7 to 17, the whole paragraph. And the whole paragraph, we can learn a main theme that God is a God of mercy, and God is a God of justice. And God's mercy and justice is going hand by hand. So God has two divine character. His mercy and His justice. In the point two, God was angry with Jerusalem for 70 years. That was God's justice. If you read verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. Do not like your fathers, whom the former prophet preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds, but they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. So the prophet, especially the prophet of Jeremiah, has spent long, long time to preach the warning to the Israelites. Turn away from the evil way. The evil way, including worshiping the idol. For many years, Jeremiah has been preaching in this message. But what was their response? Let's see the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. Verse 3, Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 3. From the 13th years of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the words of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you, raising early and speaking, but you have not listened. Verse 4. What was the message? They did not listen. Verse 5. They said, repent now every one of his evil ways, and his evil doing, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your father forever and ever. Verse 6, and do not go after one other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the work of your hand, and I will not harm you. And verse 7. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hand and to your own heart. You look into this paragraph, and let me ask you a question. How many years did Jeremiah preaching this warning? How many years? How many years? How many years? Brother Zhu, how many years? Hey, look into the Bible. Get the answer. Look into the Bible. How many years? Which verse is the answer? Verse 3, right? How many years? 23 years. Oh. 23 years. How old are you? It's about 23, right? Not 23 yet, right? Because you are still in undergraduate. From the day you were born, your mother keep on nagging you 23 years, the same thing. From the morning, early morning, until the time you sleep, how do you feel? I think you will be crazy, right? You don't like your mother nagging at you, right? Don't you? Oh. And all the message the same, for 23 years, from the early morning to the evening, the same message. Turn away from the evil, right? Turn away from worshiping the idol for 23 years. And what was the outcome? They pay no attention to the warning of the prophet. So their heart was hardened. Since God warned them for 23 years, and they refused to change, so what happened? Now you look into the same chapter, Jeremiah chapter 25. Therefore, thus says the Lord of the host, because you have not heard my words. 9. Behold, I will send you and take all the family of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitant and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing and perpetual desolation. So this is the outcome of God's justice. All right? God keep on proclaiming the message of warning because God cares, because God's mercy. And since they refuse God's warning, refuse to accept God's mercy for warning, so they have to face God's justice. So God used Nebuchadnezzar as his servant to attack the Israelites, to destroy them, to capture them into the exile for 70 years. A lot of people was killed. Why? It was not because God did not love them. It was because they refused to listen to God. They refused to accept God's merciful warning. So they have to face God's justice. So this is one of the examples. So what does that mean to us nowadays? Spiritual cultivation, there are several ways. One is we study the Bible, we pray by ourselves, right, to improve ourselves. And sometimes God uses other people to tell us our shortcoming and what should we change. God will move people, or God will move the minister to deliver a message to remind us which part we have to change. But you know, some of the members sometimes they just the heart is just hardened. Even though have so many messages have been focused on their own weakness, they refuse to change. But the last resort, God wants to change us, is through tribulation. And tribulation is the most effective way to change a person. So if we refuse to accept God's mercy, then we have to face God's justice. So that was the reason God angry with Jerusalem for 70 years. Now, it was not because God did not care. It was because they refused to listen to God's merciful warning. So they have to face God's justice. So in order to have better relationship with God, we have to understand God's divine nature, his mercy and his justice. Do you know in your family, if both parents are all very strict to you, I only practice justice at family, then I think in the teenage, maybe some of you already run away from your family, right? Because in family, you have no love. You only feel the justice. The parent keep on criticizing you, this wrong, that wrong, and without commend you, your achievement, or give you some kind of encouragement. And your life in your family probably will be like a hell. But on the other hand, if your parents never tell you what's wrong with you, never ask you to improve yourself, never give you any guideline, guidance, always try to say kind word to you, right? And then maybe you will be spoiled, right? And you will not grow up because there is no justice, there is no rule in your family. So sometimes your mother plays a role of what? Being merciful, and your father plays a role of being very justice, right? They're very strict. So the family life can be balanced. Or most often is reversed. The mother, very strict, right? And the father are very kind. So God himself can play the two roles at the same time because he is God. But we human beings sometimes cannot play the role of being justice and being mercy at the same time, balanced, in a very balanced way. But God can do it very balanced way. So sometimes the kids know how to maneuver between these two. When you want to go somewhere, you know your mother is not going to permit you, then you go to ask your father, right? When you try to do something, you know your father is not going to let you go, then you ask your mother, right? Sometimes you go in these two ways, right? God is a God of merciful and justice. So one day you become a parent, right? You have to look into your family, right? If it was another part of your either husband or wife are very strict, then you should be very merciful. Other part are more merciful, then you have to be very strict. Go hand by hand, so you can discipline the children very effectively. So verse 12 is talk about God's justice. So God was angry with Jerusalem for 70 years. Now verse 13. After the angel asked God, why do you angry with Jerusalem for 70 years? Then the response from God, verse 13. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 13. And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words. This is another side of God. He's a God of mercy. So he said good words and comforting words. Verse 14. So the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim it, saying, thus said the Lord of the host, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. Verse 15, and I am exceedingly angry with the nation at east, for I was a little angry, but they helped, but with evil intent. If you read, have any other translation, huh? It seems different, huh? Do you have a NIV translation? The last part of verse 15. How did NIV translation talk about? They added to the calamity. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Originally, maybe your father want to punish you and ask your brother to punish you, right? And your brother punish you more than your father want to punish you. And that's added calamity. That's what the Bible tried to say. Originally, God's intent was not to treat the Israelites so seriously. But when God used the king of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Nebuchadnezzar punished the Israelites more than what God wanted them to do. Now, do you know? Men are different from God. Do you know? When David counted the number of the patient, of the nation, right? God was angry about him because he counted the number of the people for his own glory. So God sent the prophet to see David, right? There are three kinds of punishment. You can make a choice. What are the three kinds of punishment? I use a question to let you think, so you will not fall asleep. David can choose one out of the three punishment. What are the three? Huh? Okay, for 3 days? The first, the longest, three years. For what? Famine, 3 years. The second is three months, right? 3 months by what? Chasing around by enemy. The third one is 3 days of what? 3 days of pestilence, right? No, 瘟疫. 英文怎么讲? 瘟疫. Pestilence, is that right? 瘟疫. Oh, sickness, right? Disease spreading around. So if you were David, which one are you going to choose? Of course, no one is good, right? Which one are you going to choose? Huh? The longest one or shortest one? You choose the shortest one because it is shortest one, so you choose the shortest one? But David chose the shortest one. He said, I'd rather to fall into the hand of God rather than hand of man. Do you know? If you fall into the hand of man chasing for 3 months, 3 months in 90 days, right? That person is going to chase you around 91 days. That's the way a human being treat other human being, right? We do more harm than God intended us to do. But God, David knew that God's heart is merciful. So I'd rather fall into the hand of God. So when the sickness came and a lot of people died in the first day, and God changed his mind. How did God change his mind? Because when God saw the people suffering and God, the people crying to God, and God has mercy for God, has mercy, so God changed his mind. So verse 15 is to let us know that God is different from man. God is merciful, even though he was angry. Oh, but human beings sometimes get angry and give punishment more than the proportion of the transgression of the person. So after God get angry, God was zealous for Jerusalem. So you know, even God's angry, God's justice has one purpose, to bring back his chosen people back to him so that he can love him more. Just like your parents, right? When you are young, your parents punish you, not because your parents want to destroy you. Your parents punish you so that you can change and your parents can love you more. Oh. But when Nebuchadnezzar punished the chosen people, the purpose is to destroy. And God punished the chosen people, the purpose is try to bring them back. Oh. So you know the human beings are so different from God. Oh. We have justice, but we always lack love. And justice without love, that kind of justice is very terrible. But God has justice and he has love. When we're facing God's justice, if we know how to return and repent, and God's love will follow. So this is verse 14. And then verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy, and my house shall be built in it, and says the Lord of hosts. And the surveyor line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Let's see Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Isaiah chapter 12. Verse 1. O Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. You see? Even though you are angry with me, but I will praise you. Why? Your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Because God's anger only a very short moment. And once the anger finish, and God will turn back to us to comfort us. So I will praise you even though you are angry with me. Verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and song. And then, he also has become my salvation. Verse 3, therefore with joy you will draw water from the well of salvation. So this is the praise of the chosen people, even though they face the punishments of God from the invasion of other nations. But eventually, they still praise God because in the end, God showed the mercy to them and God comforted them and God was with them once again. So that was the reason in the end of the punishment, they were so joyful. So sometimes, you know, in the book of Hebrew, talk about God will chastise us, right? Because God loves us. But after God chastises us, God will bless us, and God will comfort us. No. So that's the God we worship. That's also referred to the book of Isaiah chapter 54. The book of Isaiah 54, from verse 4 to verse 8. These are all historical records talking about God's reaction to Israelite rebellion against him. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth, and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Verse 5. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, and he called the God of the whole earth. Now, verse 6. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says the Lord. And verse 7. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. Verse 8. With a little wrath I hide my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Especially verse 7 and verse 8. This is a very wonderful verses to comfort us. You know, a lot of time we sin against God, right? We always sometimes have a very strong guilty conscience. But if we read verse 7 and 8, right? For a mere moment, I have forsaken you. God don't want to listen our prayer. Seems our prayer go nowhere. But with the great mercy, I will gather you. A little wrath, I hide my face from you a moment. Seems our prayer has no experience. But with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you. I met some of the members. Actually, they commit very serious sin. One of the youth, one day, asked me, and I commit this kind of sin. Can God forgive me? He was in desperation. God. And I told him that I will pray for you, and you also pray for yourself for a period of time to see what is the outcome. But during the prayer, you had to repent. I know you that every time he prayed, he shed a tear. He repented. But after 2 or 3 months, one day he called me. I received the Holy Spirit. And I knew God forgave him. Of course, we cannot use God's forgiveness as an excuse to commit sin. Right? Every sin has its own consequence. Even sin can be forgiven, but you have to bear the consequence. Even sin can be forgiven, you have to bear the consequence. For example, if you have a fornication or even oral sex, right? Even sin, I'm not saying God can forgive. Even sin can be forgiven, but you have the consequence. You cannot marry in the church. Sometimes even you cannot marry in the same faith in the church. You cannot marry in a chapel. You cannot marry, sometimes you cannot marry the members. Sin can be forgiven. Consequence, you have to bear. Also, God is a merciful God. He will forgive our sin. So if we really commit sin, don't just stay in the sin. Come back to God and repent. And he will forgive us. So this is chapter 1, verse 12. God is going to come back to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was destroyed in desolation. So God is going to come back to rebuild the Jerusalem, the fallen city. Oh. And verse 17, number 4, A4. God will again choose Jerusalem. So this is another sign of God. God is a merciful God. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17. Again proclaiming, saying, thus says the Lord, city shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Do you know when God destroyed the city of Jericho? What did God say? The city of Jericho can never be rebuilt, right? Oh. Why? Because that was a city of the foreign nation. That it was a sinful city. Inside the city, the people was not chosen. So once the city of Jericho been destroyed, that city will never be rebuilt. But when Jerusalem was destroyed because of sin of his chosen people, God promised he is going to come back and to rebuild the chosen people. How come? God has double standard, right? Oh, to the city of Jericho, it was not allowed to rebuild, right? But to this city of Jerusalem, it was allowed to rebuild. The main point is because Jerusalem was belonged to God, and the people in Jerusalem belong to God. Oh. So sometimes there's no comparison between God's chosen people and the Gentile. No comparison. Oh. Let's see the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 33. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Verse 34. Who condemned? It is Christ who died. Now, and furthermore, is also risen, and who is even in the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So a Gentile can never accuse. Hey, you kill people before. You commit adultery before. You worship idol before. And how come you can go to heaven? Right? I don't worship the idol. I don't kill. I don't commit adultery. And I cannot go to heaven. So God is unfair. A Gentile can never make this accusation. God is unfair. Why? Because once you believe in Jesus Christ, you are justified by the grace of God and also by your faith. So you become the chosen people of God. And then they refuse to accept the mercy of God, the salvation of God. So they don't belong to God, and we belong to God, and that's the difference. So how come they cannot accuse us even before our conversion? We commit a lot of sin because right now we become the chosen people. And they are not the chosen people. So there is no comparison. So for the city of Jericho, that belongs to the atheist, not the chosen people. So once destroyed, it cannot be rebuilt. But for Jerusalem, even though they have sinned, they destroyed, and God is going to rebuild it because God's mercy to his chosen people. So today, we are very thankful we can become the chosen people. Really, God, even though God sometimes gets angry with us because of his justice, but most of times, God loves us.
God show mercy to us once we repent. Let's come back to chapter 1, verse 11. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 11. Saul did answer the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly. Now, so this is there was a vision from verse 8 to verse 11. How to interpret the vision very precisely, it seems very difficult. But we can understand briefly that in the end of vision, in the end of the vision, right, verse 11, the whole earth is resting quietly. When the Israelite was under captivity in the beginning, a lot of people was killed. They suffer a lot, physically, mentally, spiritually. And it was captured into other nation. So that was a great tribulation to them. But in the end, there was a tranquility. Even though they living under the foreign nation, they live a very peaceful life. So what does that mean to us today? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thought that I think towards you, says the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you future and hope. So God's thought toward us is the thought of peace, not the thought of evil. Which means the intention of God is not to make us suffer. The intention of God is to make us peace. So suffering is to change us. After we change, we can enjoy the fruit of the change, the fruit of righteousness, which is peace. Just like your parents, right? Your parents sometimes discipline you in order that you can become a better person. After you change, your parents' love remain on you and still care about you. I still love you. So when we are in suffering, we should never doubt about God's love. Suffering is only momentary. But when we bear the fruit of righteousness from the suffering, and peace will prevail in our life. And that was the intention of God. Now, let's pray in silence.